We're in Luke chapter 10. A couple of weeks ago, I was taking part in a district pastor's training session online. Dr. Brian Powell, who has been here a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, and preached revival for us, was our guest preacher that evening. And he turned to this chapter. He had us turn to this passage of Scripture, and he began sharing some things with us. And while he was sharing that, the Spirit just started speaking to me. And I'm not going to lie. I love Dr. Brian Powell. I have the most respect for him in the world, but I can't tell you a lot about what he said that night, because I'm sitting here and I just kept reading these five verses of Scripture. And God just started showing me things. And so I preached last week on Facebook, but not here, obviously, for Mother's Day. And I've been waiting. I'm waiting to share this message with you. And I want to talk to you today about choosing the most needed thing. Choosing the most needed thing. And we're in Luke chapter 10. We're going to read verses 38 through 42 in a minute, but I want us to understand what's going on here. We're in the village of Bethany. Now, Luke's gospel doesn't tell us that. But John's gospel, when he talks about this in John chapter 11 and chapter 12, tells us that Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived in the village of Bethany. That's where they were from. We know that Jesus had a very close relationship with these three. Lazarus, of course, is the Lazarus whom Jesus raised from the dead after he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And Mary and Martha were there saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." So we're in the town of Bethany. Martha and Lazarus and Mary, they live there, and Jesus and the 12 disciples are passing through. Now, I don't know how word spread back then. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have social media. They didn't have text messaging and all that kind of stuff. But somehow or another, the word got out that Jesus was coming through the village of Bethany. Martha goes out at some point to meet Jesus, and it says she invites him in to their home. Now it gets interesting. I want us to read. There's only five. There's so much going on. There's five verses of Scripture, verses 38 through 42, but I want us to read that, and then we're going to kind of take this story apart a little bit. It says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Father, I just ask your blessing and anointing on the reading and this message that we have for the next few minutes. Help us, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen. So to go through this story, I want to start at the end, so to speak. We're going to start with the solution to the problem, the answer to the problem, and work our way back. My mom had a really interesting habit as I was growing up. She told me one time that she would read the end of the book to see if she liked the ending, and then she would decide whether she wanted to read the rest of the book or not. I thought, well, I don't know. Kind of still hard to judge that way, but we're going to start with the end. And I'm doing it this way because I want to establish for you, I want to give you the answer to the question before we even get started. What is the most needed thing? Whether you're a Christian, whether you're a believer, whether you're a non-believer, I'm here to tell you that no matter who you are, no matter where we find ourselves spiritually, the most needed thing is for us to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And that's what this story's about. So as we go through this message, we need to understand that this is a lesson about priorities. We need to understand that this is a lesson about Jesus teaching us what is the most important thing in life. And as we study, I'm going to give you an assignment. We need your participation today. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you have a notepad or if you have anything that you can write on, or if you can take your phone and go into that little notes section if you want to and make some notes, I just want you to think about as we go through this things that maybe the Spirit tells you, because at the end, we're going to have a little time of application and action. So the most needed thing is this, to be in the presence of Jesus. And we're going to talk about some assignments, some priorities. That's our assignment, to evaluate our priorities. We need to identify with who we are and who we want to be in this story. When we go through this, who do you find yourself most like, personality-wise? Who are we most like in this story? And then we need to ask the question, who would I most want to be like as we go through? So make some notes as the Spirit speaks to you about it. Now, the second thing we're going to do right now, we're just going to get started. We're going to look at the characters involved in the story. So we're going to look at the characters involved in the story. We find a lot of different personality traits. We find different priorities or a sense of what is important. Megan mentioned in her opening this morning about the different gifts. God loves us each uniquely, not the same, but he loves us each uniquely because he creates each and every one of us in his own image, yet we are still very different. And we all have different personality traits. Not that they are right or wrong, but we're going to hopefully understand by the time we get done with this how those personality traits work in our spiritual life. So let's look at the characters. First, we're going to look at Martha. Who was Martha? What was Martha like? I'm here to tell you, I think Martha was a definite type A personality. You know what? She was a perfectionist. Everything had to be in its place. Everything had to be just right. But the scripture here describes her as being distracted. And that was the word when Dr. Brian Powell, as I kept reading through this passage of scripture, these few verses of scripture that night in that meeting with Dr. Powell, that word jumped out at me and just slapped me upside the head. Distracted. Now, what is a distraction? What does that mean? It means that our focus is taken off of the main thing. Someone told me a long time ago, you know, it's important that we keep the main thing the main thing. But a distraction takes our focus off of the main thing. And can I just tell you this right now, this morning? That is Satan's number one goal in bringing distractions into our lives, is to take our minds off of what we are supposed to actually be focusing on, and that is Christ. Distractions, and we're going to look. Distractions can be very legitimate things. There might not be anything sinful in the distraction. It only becomes sinful when I allow whatever that is to become more important to me than sitting in the presence of Jesus. So we're going to look for a few minutes at what Martha's distractions were. What was it that distracted her? The first thing was this. Preparation. You say, but preparation's a good thing. I agree, it can be. But it can also be overdone to the point where it does more harm than good. Look at verse 40. Once again, it says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now look, she went out, found Jesus, and invited her to come to their house, okay? She initiated this thing. Well, then she gets back, but she can't just go out and invite Jesus to come to her house, right, and not do it the right way. Everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be in the right place. What do you do when you're inviting someone over for company, if you're having company over to your house? Floors have to be swept. The floors have to be mopped. Kitchen counters have to be wiped down. All the clutter has to be picked up. The house has to be dusted. The bathroom needs to be cleaned. We've got to make sure we go through and do everything and get it exactly right before we have company. And that's what Martha's doing. She's trying to clean the house. She's trying to get everything ready. She's trying to get the food prepared. She's trying to get the table set. We got to decide whether we're using the good china. You know, back to the vessel sermon a few weeks ago. We got to decide whether we're using paper or plastic or china or whatever it is. And everything has to be just right. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever worked so hard preparing to have company that you couldn't enjoy the company while they were there because of how much effort and time you put into it beforehand. I'm so worn out, I'm so tired, and even, yes, frustrated. We're going to get to that in a minute. Because of all the work that we have to do in order to get ready, that we don't enjoy whatever it is we're celebrating. You see what happened with Martha? Preparation is good to a certain point. But we have to be careful that we don't allow preparation to overshadow the presence. We can't allow preparation to overshadow the presence. Look, we can do a lot of work in the church. Matter of fact, there are people sitting in this building right now who do a tremendous amount of work around this church, inside and outside the building, in the parsonage and different things like that. We do a tremendous amount of work to keep everything going. But we also have to make sure that we don't spend so much time making preparation that we don't leave room for the presence when we come here in this place. Am I so tired when I get here on Sunday morning? Am I distracted by all the preparations that have to be made to the point where I can't experience or even enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit himself? We can't afford to allow the preparation to overshadow the presence. I mentioned this. Here's our next distraction. Frustration. Frustration. Mary's doing all the Martha's doing all the preparation. She's doing all the work. And she becomes frustrated with her sister Mary because she isn't helping. How many have ever been there? Or brothers, whatever might be the case. All right, I see some kids raising their hand. All right, parents, how many of you have ever been frustrated because your kids don't help? You're not a parent. Unless there's something, I don't know, anyway. She becomes frustrated. Now, I want us to understand something. The Spirit showed me that she's frustrated with Mary, first of all, because Martha's doing all the work, and she makes sure she lets that be known. She's doing all the work while Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it says she was listening to his words. That frustrated Martha because the house wasn't clean yet. The food wasn't done yet. The table wasn't set yet. Mary's just sitting there. Frustrated with Mary because she's not helping. But now I want you to look at something else here, and this is where it gets dangerous. Martha doesn't stop there. She voices frustration with Jesus himself. Now maybe you've never caught, I hadn't really thought about this before. But she voices frustration with Jesus. Look at the last part of verse 40. She says, Lord, and I have these three words underlined in my notes. Don't you care? Wow. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? She questions him. She questions his interest or his compassion or his care. And then she goes on to give him some instruction. She says, tell her to help me. Now stop and think about this. Jesus is the guest of honor. He's supposed to be the center of attention. He was just going through town minding his own business. She came out and invited him, and she invites him in, and now she drags him into her little sibling rivalry with her sister because she's frustrated and disappointed that her sister's not helping, and Jesus isn't doing anything to make her help. You know what happened here? She allowed her frustration to overshadow the fellowship. She allowed her frustration to overshadow the fellowship. You ever gone someplace? You ever gone to a church function or a family function or anything like that that was supposed to be a time of celebration, that was supposed to be a time of fellowship, and you were so frustrated you couldn't even enjoy it? Let's just be real. God slapped me upside the head with this. I couldn't wait to preach this message. It's just been like all over. She allowed frustration to overshadow their fellowship. Because she's upset with her sister, and whether she wants to admit it or not, her words tell me she was upset with Jesus. Because Mary's sitting around doing nothing, and Jesus is just like allowing it to happen. Here's her next distraction. It's worry. Worry. Verse 41 tells us Jesus told her that she was worried and upset about many things. Now, what does Jesus tell us in other places about worry? Let me remind you, Matthew chapter 6, start with verse 25. Here's what it says. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Jesus is asking the question, what does worry actually accomplish us? He goes on, he says, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was not dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' The pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, maybe I'm in my simple Missouri redneck hick understanding and misunderstanding something here, but I think Jesus is probably telling us not to worry. It's kind of the bottom line. But he tells Martha, "You're worried and upset about many things." Worry. You know what she's doing here? She's allowing the distraction of worry to overshadow her worship. We allow the distraction we call worry to overshadow worship. We come into church on a Sunday morning, and we're so caught up. We're so caught up in the events of the week. We're so caught up in this situation or that situation, that family problem or this medical condition. You cannot imagine how stunned I was to find out that Kimberly had cancer. What are we worried about this morning that is causing us not to be able to worship? I told you, I'm going to ask you to, I hope you're kind of thinking about some things, because at the end of this, here in just a few minutes, we're going to kind of put some of this stuff together. She's distracted by all the preparations and her frustrations. She's distracted by worry. Let me ask you this morning, here's one of the questions you need to be able to answer. What are you distracted by that's keeping you from being in the presence of Jesus and worshiping him? So now let's look at Mary real quick. Won't take as long because not much is said about her. Mary is definitely not a type A personality. See, when I think of Mary, I see her as this carefree, easygoing person. I think Mary's kind of one of those fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants kind of people. She just kind of takes things as it comes, goes with the flow. I would describe her, though, this word came to my mind when I was thinking about this. I would describe her as being captivated. You ever been captivated by something? Something just grabs your mind and you can't think about anything else. It just, when you think about that, when you think about that person or that thing, everything else just kind of fades away. She's captivated by the sound of Jesus' voice. She's captivated by his words and what they mean. She becomes lost in his presence. It's like nothing else matters. It's as if everything else around her just fades away and disappears. I mean, she's so captivated and lost in the presence of Jesus, she doesn't even notice this chaos named Martha that's going on around her. I don't think she even hears Martha complaining. I don't think she hears any of that, because she's sitting at the feet of Jesus and she's just taken by his words and his presence. Have we ever been in the presence of someone? Is there anyone in your life that you've ever known that just captivates you like that? Anyone where you just, for me, I listen to pastors and stuff. And you know what? There are pastors I listen to. There are two or three pastors, and probably more than that if I stop and think about it. But there are a few guys and some women pastors that I could just sit and listen to preach the rest of my life. I mean, their messages just always captivate me. That's how Mary was. She was just captivated by the presence of Christ. Why? Because she's in the presence of Jesus. She's in what I'm going to call the Mary zone. Nothing else mattered. Everything else just disappears. It's like nothing else is happening in the world except what Jesus is saying right there. And then there's Jesus, the next character in the story. Obviously, we kind of can't leave him out. I kind of did say we need to keep the main thing, right? All Jesus does is display that Jesus personality. And what is that? Jesus just wants to be with the people that he loves and cares about. Can I share something with you this morning? There's nothing more important to Jesus right now than being present in your life. And there's nothing Jesus wants more from us right now than just to be happy and content in his presence. That's it. Jesus just wanted to be with people that he loves and cares about. So how does he demonstrate that? Well, he kind of uses some a technique here to calm Martha down a little bit. He calls her by name. He says, "Martha, Martha." He says it twice, and I don't think he's yelling at her. I don't think he's scolding her. I think he's speaking with her in the most compassionate voice. "Martha, Martha, you're so worried. You're upset about so many other things, but there's only one thing really needed. There's only one thing really needed." Can I paraphrase this voice? Can I give you the Francis Warren version of this voice, this verse? Here's what I think he's saying. I think Jesus is saying, "Martha, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the house is perfect. It doesn't matter if it's completely clean. It doesn't matter to me if the floor is swept and mopped. It doesn't matter if the house is dusted. It doesn't matter what kind of food you put on the table, or even if we have a table. None of that matters to me. Martha, all that really matters to me is I'm here in your house with you right now, this moment. And I just want us to enjoy that time together." But then he commends Mary. He says, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Mary has chosen. The title of this sermon, Choosing the Most Needed Thing. You and I have a choice. We each get to choose what is most important to us. We get to choose what our priorities are. He said, "Mary has chosen what is better." And then he goes on to say, "And it will not be taken away from her." I mean, he tells Martha, "Look, you're worried and upset about a lot of things, and there's only one thing that's really needed, and that's to be in my presence." He said, "Mary has chosen that," but he looks at Martha, and I think he kind of tells her, "And it won't be taken away from her." "No, Martha, I'm not making Mary get up from her spot of worship to help you do the housework. She's chosen what is better." He was not going to interrupt her contentment because of Martha's complaining. See, Jesus may be disappointed in our choices at times. I'm sure he is. I'm sure my choices have disappointed him many times. But he will not override those choices. God is sovereign, but God also gives us a free will and a choice, and we get to choose what's important. And he's not going to override those choices. He will allow us to live with the rewards or consequences of whatever we choose. So now, we come to our part. Here's the assignment, if you want to think about it that way. Questions for us to answer. Some actions to take. I want you to stop. Whatever you're thinking about right now, I just want you to stop. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes. I want you to focus, however you need to focus. Here's the first question. Who are you most like in this story? Are you most like Martha? Are you more like Mary? Are we more like Martha? Are we more like Mary? I don't mean this judgmentally. I mean this just in an honest and realistic way. Most of us are not more like Mary. Probably most of us are more like Martha. Here's the next question, and this is where it maybe gets more real. What are your distractions? What are your distractions? And what I mean by that is, what is it in your life that distracts you to the point where we can't maintain focus on Jesus? Where we can't worship him the way we should? Social media? TV? There are so many things. And as I said before, not that these things are wrong or sinful in and of themselves. Some things are. But what is the busyness in my life that distracts me from giving Jesus my full attention and being in his presence? So that's the question. Those are the questions that you need to answer. Now here's the action. I want you in your own way. Michael's going to start a song for me that I heard for the very first time last weekend when we were with Jordan at his church. He's going to start a song. And as this song plays, I don't want you to think about the time. I don't want you to think about, listen to the words, but I want you to just bring your distractions in whatever way you need to. Bring your distractions to the feet of Jesus and leave them with him. Because it's only then that we can actually choose and experience what is most needed. Being in his presence. So if you need to come to this altar, I invite you to do that. If you need to sit right where you are, I invite you to do that. Maybe you just need to go to a different spot of the building. Whatever the Spirit tells you to do, let's bring our distractions to him so that we can experience his presence, which is what we need the most.
Silence steals my voice. You understand me. You understand me. Come to me in the valley of unknowns. You understand me. You understand me. You understand me, God. You understand me, so I throw all my cares before you. My doubts and fears don't scare you. You're bigger than I thought you were. You're bigger than I thought. So I stop all.
actually bigger than you thought. I've never heard that song until Jordan and his group led worship with it last week. There's that line in that song. I stop all negotiations with the God of all creation. We've got to surrender everything to him and let him have control. I've asked my friend, Pastor Dan Courtney, to come and lead us in our closing prayer this morning as we get ready to leave, and just whatever the Spirit speaks to you, my brother, come pray for us.
What a great message. Man, we need to be in the presence of God. And, you know, Martha and Mary, they're sisters. They have a rivalry, you know. Aren't you glad that Scripture reported things like this? It could have just been whatever Jesus was saying, right? And then it would just all be teaching. But it's not just all teaching. Some of it's real life. And we've been caught in the midst of real life for the last year and a half that we never thought would be our real life. So there's a lot going on here. And so I've really been praying, Lord, how do you want me to help close this down? And I appreciate the opportunity. So I'm just going to ask everybody to close your eyes again. And let's just have one of those private moments with the Lord. And that same line caught me too. So I stop all negotiations with the God of all creation. When we think about how we want to call the shots so many times, but he's the one that's God. And that's really kind of what was going on. Martha was just kind of in control. And maybe for someone here, you need to just give up control. Maybe that's the place you need to come to, where every day you just come to a point, you set a time where you're like, okay, Lord, I'm giving up control. And I'm going to allow you to really speak some things into my life. I'm going to allow you to challenge me. The thing we don't know about Martha here is how she responded. If you put yourself in Martha's shoes and you're the one that's saying, boy, I think I'm more like Martha in this story, how would you respond when Jesus gently rebukes you like this? He's calling us to repentance, right? And when we repent, when we really give everything over to him, then he's going to blow our mind. That's what we don't realize. He's going to blow our mind with what it means to be in his presence. It's not going to be like he's rebuking us to get us out of what we normally do just so he can punish us. His presence is powerful. His presence heals us. His presence gives us hope. How many of you could use some hope today? His presence does that. His presence can bring things into our life that we need the most. And when we're just carrying on, nothing's going to change. So here's how I want to end this, just the way that you said. What is it that is keeping you from God's presence? And so let me ask it just from a little different angle in case if you're here and you've got some things already and you want to pray for those, I'm going to pray for those in just a moment. But if not, let me ask it from a little different angle. What does the presence of God look like in your life? I just want you to picture that. Like, what are the moments when you have really connected with God in a powerful way? And once you're there, then what is it that's keeping you from experiencing that over and over and over as often as possible? What are the things that are keeping you from experiencing that over and over? What's keeping you from worshiping God? What's keeping you from prayer time? What's keeping you from reading the Word? Because his presence is there too. Might be your phone. If you know, think about how even 20, 30 years ago, we didn't even have that distraction, but now it's constant. Your phone, social media, TV, whatever it is, the things that just draw your attention, they grab at your attention. And God is saying, give me your attention. Jesus is saying, Mary did it right. She gave me her attention. And so I'll end it with this. I believe that Jesus wants us to be in the moment, and that is how we will experience his presence. If your mind is always somewhere else, I really want to pray for you today. He wants us to be in the moment. So if you're at church, like this morning, like right now, we're getting ready to go to prayer. If something else is distracting you, just say, Lord, help me to focus in and make the most of this prayer time. If we're doing worship and we're singing, man, sing with your whole heart. That's what it means to be in the moment. We got to know what time it is, because once the worship set is over, the singing part is over, you're not going to sing. So we sing while we're singing. Does that make sense? We pay attention while the word is coming forth. We pray when it's time to pray. And we're in that moment, and that's how we really experience God's presence. So whatever it is that's distracting you right now, I just want you, as I pray over the congregation, I just want you to lay it down before God. I want you to almost offer it to him as a sacrifice. Just picture yourself like handing it over to him and saying, Lord, I want to experience what Mary did, not just what Martha did. If I'm being rebuked right now because of the distractions in my life, because of the worries in my life, because of the fears in my life, then I repent and I lay it down at your altar, and I want to be in your presence. And we're in his presence right now. So let's just seek him together as I pray. Father God, right now, I thank you for the opportunity. Man, what a great message from Pastor, and just a great reminder that we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus is the one. He doesn't rebuke us in a harsh way. He rebukes us in a way that draws us back to him. He rebukes us with his kindness. It's his kindness that leads to repentance. He was being kind to Martha and drawing her in. So, Lord, I want to pray right now for everyone that's here, for that person that's here, and their distraction is fear and worry. That is very real today. Whether we're fearful and worried over the future, we're fearful and worried over politics or social justice or injustice or coronavirus or wars around the world or tensions or whatever it is on a national or world scene, I just pray right now that you would come into their life and that you would bring that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that says, even though the world's in turmoil, I'm not in turmoil. My spirit is not in turmoil, and I can bring peace into your life, and I pray for that right now in Jesus' name. For that person that's fearful or worried over a family member that just came down with cancer or is on hospice or another situation, whether it's a physical health or maybe even a relationship issue that's going on, Lord, I just pray that you would bring that peace into their life right now, that you would help them to understand when they're in your presence, there is healing for that. There can be peace even in the midst of a storm. And sometimes you'll just calm the storm. And so, Lord, I pray for that person right now. I pray for the person that just flat is distracted. Man, that's me. I can get distracted so easily by my phone or by something else, and to be in the moment can be a challenge today. And so I pray for that person that relates to that, and they're just always, their mind is always somewhere else. I pray that you would give them an ability to set a time. Maybe there's a specific time of the day that's going to be best for them to not be distracted. Maybe when they first get up, but you would help them to set that time so they don't miss it with you. So they don't miss it, and they can completely and totally focus in on you and soak up your presence in the moment. So, Lord, I pray against those distractions. I rebuke them in Jesus' name, and I pray that a brand new focus would begin to develop for them as they take in your presence on a daily basis. And, Lord, for the person that just is busy, they're so busy with life that they just don't have time for you. Lord, I pray. I know their desire is to have time for you, but they just feel like they can never get caught up. I pray for that person. That was Martha, totally. And Jesus said, you can do this. You can do this. So I pray for that person that you would help them to set those times and to make sure that they are spending that time with you, because, Lord, there's nothing that changes things in this world like your presence. And so, Lord, I pray for this congregation right now, that the presence of God, man, I felt it here today. I've experienced your presence in a powerful way here today. I'm so thankful for Pastor, and I'm so thankful for the message that he gave. And I just pray that as people come, they would come expecting to be in your presence, in your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you that you care enough for us to come and visit us on a regular basis. You stand at the door and you knock, and I pray that we would hear your voice and open the door so that you would come in and spend time with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Thank you for being here this morning. I'll be praying for District Assembly this afternoon and evening, and pray that you have a blessed week. And we're dismissed. Thanks for being here. God bless you.